Well, in Matthew chapter number 9, you know, I was just thinking of a statement you hear people say often, and people that don't even know the Lord, probably I hear them say this more than anything, where they have come close to death, and they say, well, I guess God wasn't finished with me yet. And I always want to say, maybe God's given you more time to come to know Him as your Savior. And that's the way we ought to think. God's just giving you one more chance to trust Him as your Savior. Don't go through life rejecting Christ's salvation. As we've been talking about missions, and I'm grateful for those who sacrifice to give, to send our missionaries around the world, and to keep them where they're serving Christ and not only telling folks about Christ, but establishing churches, training national pastors. Someone was asking me about one of our missionaries this morning, and I've heard some things in the news recently about Kiribati. We've got a missionary in Kiribati. Well, they've been out of Kiribati since COVID started because Kiribati closed their borders. No one can come in and no one can come out. And it's just a little island country close by Fiji in that part of the world. And they actually have gone from Kiribati to the northwest, up in way up northwest, almost into Canada. And but God's still using the church there, even though the missionaries a long ways from Kiribati, because they've established a church there with national leadership and a local pastor that they weren't really done training for the ministry, but now they've turned it over to him out of necessity, and they've been in contact with him over the phone, and that's the way our missionaries work, because they realize they're only there on a part-time, they're not there permanently. They're not citizens of the country, so they're there to win people to the Lord, but to establish a work that will continue after they leave the field. And sometimes they have to leave the field sooner than expected. They're still praying about going back into Kiribati. And one of the things I heard about Kiribati, and of course the news media around here doesn't care much about third world countries, so I heard a little bleep on the news a couple of weeks ago that there was a hurricane or tsunami, some tropical storm, whatever they call them in that part of the world. They call them typhoons or hurricane, was heading toward Fiji, and I wasn't sure if that was a threat to Kiribati or not, but that country is though it's an island, there's not much elevation on that island. There's no mountains. Everything's just a few feet above sea level. So if you can imagine, a surge of the ocean would completely cover that island, and they've had that threat before. So I do pray for our missionaries, and we're grateful for those missionaries that are willing to go, and those that are willing to sacrifice to send them. And as we talk about missions, I was in my studies, I was directed to a verse in Matthew chapter 9 concerning missions that I want to read this morning and look at for a few moments in Matthew 9 and verse number 35 through verse number 38. You found it there in your Bible. Let's stand, if you would, if you're able to stand, and out of respect to the Word of God, we'll stand as we read verse number 35 through verse number 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Every time I read that verse, I see about six things I want to preach on, but I'm just going to let them sit there. In verse number 36, and when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, that's a statement that Jesus made a number of times in his earthly ministry. It's recorded, and he probably made it other times. It is not recorded for us in the Gospels. But I want to, this morning, look at the Great Commission, the command that Jesus gave us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'd like us to try to see that Great Commission through the eyes of Jesus. And we see it through our eyes. And what we see when the Great Commission is different than a missionary that's serving in a foreign field would see when he looks at the Great Commission. And I think we need to learn to try, at least, I don't think we're fully able to try to look through the eyes of Jesus, seeing our commission through the eyes of Jesus. Father, we pray that you would bless our time together this morning. And Lord, that you would challenge us to the work of missions and more than that, to a closer walk with you. And whether it's a need of salvation or a need of dedication or surrender to you, I pray that you would work in each of our hearts and lives today. And I pray that you would help us to see a little clearer through the eyes of Jesus today when he looks at this lost world. And God, that it would break our hearts like it broke his heart. Father, we bless your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. You have a seat if you will. Seeing our commission through the eyes of Jesus. Jesus said the harvest is here. Pray for the harvest. The harvest is ready. The laborers, the harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. To pray for the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. When you think about the harvest, of course, we're talking about the harvest of souls. All of us have an eternal soul that's going to live forever in heaven or in hell, depending on what we've done with Jesus Christ. And the work of the harvest is telling folks about Jesus Christ they could spend eternity in heaven with him. We talk about stepping on shore and being with heaven. We think about heaven during the song service today. And our desire is to tell folks about heaven so they can share the joys of heaven. It's not being a good person. It's not being religious that gets you to heaven. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're in the work of harvest, of harvesting souls. And I think of that work of the harvest. And I want to look at that harvest and seeing the harvest through the eyes of Jesus. Seeing our work through the eyes of Jesus. And I mentioned this morning the work of the harvest, the season of the harvest, and the heart of the harvest that we see in Jesus Christ. When you think of the work of the harvest, my mind immediately wanders back. Oh, before we came to Amboy, when we lived in Rockford, and I worked as an electrician, and then my wife grew up on a farm, and her dad was still alive at the time. And when harvest season came, I got to pretend I was a farmer for a while because they needed all the help they could get the harvest in. There were some things I was allowed to do and some things I wasn't allowed to do at the harvest. My assignment was to drive one of the grain trucks, and I had a special truck. I mean, this truck was a great old grain truck. It used to be a fire truck. My father-in-law was known for picking up strange things at farm auctions, but he picked up an old fire truck. And they took the tank and everything out of the fire truck and made a grain truck out of it. I think this thing was far older than I was. And it was a fun truck to drive. I mean, it had the clutch that most of the time didn't work. So you just, and that was no problem. Me, I grew up learning to drive in a stick shift with most of the time the clutch didn't work. So you just learned to do that. And it was just kind of fun to drive that. But you know, when it came to the work of the harvest, not everyone got to drive the combine. I did get to ride in it a couple of times because I got to sit with some of my kids to ride in the combine with Grandpa, and I couldn't touch anything. That's not for me. I don't even know what all that. That was before they got as complicated as they are now. I didn't get to drive the tractor with the auger wagon that they would unload the combine into the auger wagon and take it. I just got to sit on the road with the old fire truck, the fourth string loading truck that Nobody else, we'll let Rocky drive that because I don't think he can break that and it's not worth much. So, and to drive that to wherever it was being delivered to the corn bin or to place where it was, wherever the assigned field was being brought to, but everyone had their job. And that's the work of the harvest. Our job and the harvest is to find our job and to know what our job is to do. Jesus said that laborers are always needed. I don't understand folks that sit around and say, well, I don't know what I can do. There's always laborers to need. It's a time for all hands on deck. Myself and other folks that didn't necessarily weren't involved in the farm operation, but when harvest time came, everybody came. And there was something for everybody to do. And one of the things I learned about harvest season, there's always breakdowns. There's always setbacks. Even this morning when we're moving the snow around, we had a breakdown. I had to go inside and fix some things. And you expect those things. You expect the unexpected. And thankfully, I had a spare part that I could repair it and keep going. So God has a place for you in the work of the harvest. And not everybody can be a missionary. Not everyone can go on the foreign field. But God has a place for you in the harvest. Every ministry has an army of unsung heroes. You can be a hero. Everybody wants to be a hero today, right? Todd, I still wear your bracelet sometimes. I'm a hero. Everybody gets to be a hero. That's the generation we grew up in where everybody gets a trophy. Now everybody gets to be a hero. But everybody can do something. We can go. Well, we can't go. We can give. If we can't give as much as we would like to, all of us can give something. For the work of missions. We can serve at home. We can be an encouragement. We can be a blessing to missionaries when they come through. Or even just send a note to our missionaries. Let them know you're praying for them. You'd be surprised what an encouragement that is to our missionaries. Just to send them a little note. It's very easy to send them an email anymore. But find your place in the work of the harvest and do the best you can. There are many distractions and many difficulties will come in the harvest. The greatest work that every one of us can do when it comes to the harvest, and that is in verse number 38. Notice what Jesus said. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. That's the greatest work when it comes to missions. Praying for our missionaries. Do you pray for our missionaries? Do you know how to pray for our missionaries? We put their missionary letters in there for you to read. So we know how to pray. We read a missionary letter every Wednesday night at our prayer meeting. So we know how to pray for them. Not just God bless the missionaries. Know what the needs are. What you're praying for. What they're praying for. So that you can join with them in prayer. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. A missionary we prayed for Wednesday night. That was one of his requests, that there would be more laborers and more volunteers and more missionaries. It's a missionary training place. And pray that more missionaries would see the need for this very important ministry of language acquisition and to go and to be a part and take advantage of that great tool there. But pray for our missionaries. Everyone can be involved. And you know what I've noticed in my own life? If I'm praying for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers in the harvest, so it won't be long that I'm going to join in the labor force. I'm going to start telling people about Jesus if I'm really praying that folks would get saved. If I'm just praying generically, God save the lost, that don't do nothing. But if I start praying for people that I know that are lost or that need the Lord in their life, whether they're lost or backslidden, if I start praying for them specifically, it won't be long before I find myself talking to them about the Lord, sharing the gospel with them. Pray for a missionary. The work of the harvest is something everyone needs to be involved in. And then I want to mention not only the work of the harvest, but the season of the harvest. When's the season of the harvest? Right now. When harvest season comes, it's time to get to work. Now is the time. Tonight we're going to, I've got a tremendous material on finding God's will. A lot of young people talk about finding God's will for their life, and a lot of old people kind of forget about God's will, but it's more important for older folks to know God's will than it is for young folks to know God's will, or just as important, I should say. And we're talking about knowing God's will for your life. How do we know what God wants me to do? There's some things we know. If we read the Bible at all, we know it's God's will for us to do some things. And if we would do those, we might get to the next step. But we can't put it off till later. The harvest is ready now. We can't say, you know, I think, when harvest time came in the farm and my wife's family, I didn't say, you know, this would be a good time to take about a 2-week vacation. The harvest will be there when we get back. No, it won't. It's going to be gone. And during that harvest time, there's some long days spent. And I didn't get there till after my work day, and then we would go there and spend be there till late at night, sometimes into the morning to try to get as much work in before the dew starts getting too heavy to work. And while you still got good weather. The long days and the short nights during the harvest season, there's a work to do. It's not a time to slack. It's not a time to take it easy. Now is the time of the harvest. In John chapter number 4, we won't turn there, but you remember the story in John chapter number 4 where Jesus sent his disciples into town to get Kentucky Fried Chicken, right? They were Baptist preachers, right? You guys go get some fried chicken, and I'm going to stay here and wait for you. I think they got a special, $20 bucket or whatever, a chicken there. So he stayed there and he met this woman who'd come to the well to get a drink of water. You remember, she was a prostitute woman is what she was. And Jesus, the conversation that took place, we read that often in John chapter number 14, where she ended up trusting Christ as her Savior. And going into the village and telling everybody in the town, a man that told me all things whatsoever I'd done. Somebody that type of a woman saying that to all the men in the town. They all wanted to come see this guy. What kind of dirt did he tell about me? But nonetheless, when they got when the disciples came back with their specialty special buckets of chicken for lunch for the for Jesus, it says then when they came to out of the city and came to him. In the meanwhile, the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Man, this stuff's so good. We've been smelling it all the way here. It's time to eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. That's something you don't know anything of. And therefore said the disciples to one another, somebody, he went to McDonald's on the road. And somebody bring him something to eat. And Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, to finish His work. Say not, there are 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look into the fields. They are white already into harvest. They're ready right now. And this evidently was earlier in the year, and he said that you think that the harvest is 4 months down the road. No, it's right now. We're talking not about an earthly harvest, but about a spiritual harvest. There are souls right now looking for the answer, looking for the truth. And the truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. The answer is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The season of the harvest is here. You know, it's amazing when you read the gospels that the disciples spent 3 years traveling with Jesus, seeing his miracles, hearing his teaching, listening to him preach, seeing him pour out his heart in prayer. And yet none of them could see what he saw. And we read the Bible, we really never really see what Jesus saw. God help us to see. Now these disciples had forsaken everything to follow him. They'd given and sacrificed much for him. They dedicated themselves to Him. They even risked their lives for Him. Yet still, they didn't see the harvest the way Jesus saw the harvest. God, help us to see the harvest. What made the difference in the book of Acts? When the Holy Spirit came and opened their eyes. When the Holy Spirit came and empowered them. And if there's anything that we need today as a renewing of the Holy Spirit in our life, a reawakening of the Holy Spirit, a revival of God's Spirit working in us, again, that we can see the harvest. Jesus, when we talk about the season of the harvest, we realize that timing is everything. We plan and schedule, but God's not limited to our schedule. You know, sometimes we say, well, I'll go tell somebody about Jesus tomorrow during the soul-winning time. We'll go out then and tell them. No, God may bring somebody in your path right now, and this may be the last opportunity they have to hear the gospel. Don't let that opportunity slip away. How many times are we guilty of that? My heart breaks to think of the times that I've been guilty of not sharing the gospel with somebody. Not realizing that this was the last opportunity. The season of the harvest is here. The fields are white in the harvest. They're soon to be falling over where they can't be harvested anymore. God sets a timetable. And we need to, as Peter says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I don't plan when the harvest is going to come. I don't plan for the divine, the perfect opportunity. I just need to be ready at a moment's notice. You know, last year, I had what I call the farm. I had a patch of sweet corn out there, and I purposely planted it at the time when we knew when the kids were going to be home, and all our kids try to come home at the same time in the summertime. And I thought, I'm going to plan this so the sweet corn, the first planting, is going to be ready when they come home. And I had it all figured out. You know, you have so many days after you plant to when it's supposed to be ready. And the weather was unusually warm. I had to plant a little earlier than sweet corn should be planted. And it was a little bit warmer than it normally should be at that time of year. So, well, this will be perfect. The ground should be warm enough to plant the sweet corn. So I planted it. And then we had a week of cold temperatures. And I thought, oh no, this stuff is going to die before it even germinates. Well, it did germinate. It did grow, but it did put it a week behind schedule. Planting it a week early almost made it so it wouldn't grow at all. But it did grow, but it was just ended up being ready a week after the kids were here. So we had a whole lot of sweet corn to eat and tell them, hey, this is really good. Too bad you missed it. But, you know, you can plan and you can work, but God's the one that's in control of things that we can't control. And we can plan, well, I'm going to tell them when this happens, when that happens, and God said, bring somebody into your life right now to here's the opportunity right now. Don't miss it. Don't fail to take advantage of this, the season of the harvest and the disciples. And sometimes we talk about God's will. The biggest mistake we make when we talk about God's will is something down the road. God's will has little to do with what's down the road. It has everything to do with right now. What am I doing right now? And many times we think, well, when we get down there, when we get there, we'll do this. No, right now. God's the one that's in control of that. We can't control the seasons. We can't control the weather. God's in control of those things. And the season of the harvest. We're talking about seeing the harvest through the eyes of Jesus, seeing our great commission through the eyes of Jesus, the work of the harvest. There's a work for all of us to do. I can't say, well, I'm sure the preacher will do that. I'm sure somebody else will do it. You know, I realized a long time ago that before I was a preacher, I realized there are people in my life that I can witness to that my pastor will never have an opportunity to talk to. And the same thing's true for you. There's people that you can share the gospel with that I'll never get past the door with them, so to speak. One fellow just a couple of months ago, a neighbor was asking me to pray for them. And I said, boy, I'll stop and try to see them. And I stopped there. They wouldn't even open. They wouldn't even answer. They, you know, one of those things, they pull the shades and pretend they're not home. And this ain't going to work. And then he decided that he's going to go try to witness to them and try to share the gospel with them. And he'd gone over and talked to him a couple of times. And then I saw him a few months later outside, and I stopped by. And, man, they were welcome to talk to me. Had all kinds of questions and claimed to be saved. I'm not sure they really understand what salvation is, but they have some religious understanding. But I tried to share with them, you know, knowing about God doesn't get you to heaven. It's knowing Jesus personally that gets you to heaven, and confessing your sin to Him and calling upon Him to be your Savior. But the reality is, there's folks that you can talk to that I can't talk to. And there's folks that I may be able to talk to that you can't talk to. But there's a work for everyone to do. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And then this is the thing that I noticed first in our text in Matthew chapter number 9. In verse number 36, it says, "But when Jesus saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd." If we could see the harvest like Jesus, we know that there's a work for us to do. The season of the harvest is right now, and we'd have a heart for the harvest. I see the compassion of Jesus as He had a heart for the harvest in verse number 36. His heart was moved. That'd be like us saying today, "My heart is broken." You know what it is to have a broken heart. Maybe you've lost a loved one, as we recently experienced in our church, and we know what it is to have that broken heart. But when's the last time our heart was broken and grieved for our next door neighbor that's lost and dying and going to hell? Would to God that we'd have that same brokenness, that same burden for them as Jesus had. When He looked at the multitude, His heart was broken. It was moved with compassion. I see the compassion of Jesus. Thank God that He had compassion on me. That He had mercy on me. I love the verse in Lamentations where Jeremiah says it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness. Not only His compassion in saving me, but His compassion in not just destroying me when I sin. And every one of us sins. Every one of us fails Him. You know, if it wasn't for God's compassion, He'd say, "I'm sorry, that's it for you. You're done. You're out of here." Thank God that His mercies are new every morning. And His compassions, they fail not. Would to God that we'd have that same compassion on others, that same love for others. And when I look at the heart of the harvest, I see His heart. And I see in His heart a heart of compassion. I see in His heart a need, as He sees a need for laborers. In verse number 37 again, notice He said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." This is always the case. There's always a shortage of workers. You know, sometimes you parents know what this is like. When you're hard at work at something, whether it's mom cleaning the house or dad working on, Brother Rex changing an engine in his car or something, right? And you're hard at work at something, and your son or daughter comes by and says, "Can I help?" And they say it when you're in the middle of something that you can't put down. And they say it so quick that by the time you turn around, they're gone. But they offered your, or maybe you wives can say, "My husband's good at that. Can I help?" Well, and it's almost like when you say, "Well, right now, no." And they, "Good, I'm out of here. Don't stick around too long, because they might find something for me to do." And reality is, that's the way we are when it comes to helping. "Hey, can I help? I'm out of here." There's plenty to do, but right now in the heat of the battle is not the time to ask. Maybe when preparing, You give some time to do it, but sometimes, well, I asked and there's nothing for me to do, I guess. I might as well just go play outside. Oh, boy. But there's always a need for laborers. There's always an overabundance of work to do and a shortage of workers. And I see in his heart as he sees the need for more laborers. As I look in his heart, I see that he has a heart for the harvest. He's focused on one thing. Jesus, when he was just a boy, his ministry hadn't even started. Remember when Joseph and Mary went to the temple to worship and they left and realized Jesus wasn't with their caravan and went back and found him teaching and debating amongst the lawyers and the religious leaders, asking them questions they couldn't answer, answering questions that they didn't know the answer to, and conversing with them as just a little boy. And they came and scolded him, said, "Didn't you know that we worried sick about you and it had been days that he was gone?" And his response was simply, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And it wasn't even time for his earthly ministry to begin yet. But he said, "It's time for me to do a work for God. I'm focused on one thing." The Bible says that Jesus set his face as a flint. He set his sights on one thing. He came into this earth for one reason, to die for our sins. The disciples didn't fully understand that. Mary really didn't fully understand all of that. Yet he came for that one reason. His heart was focused on the lost that he was coming to die for. And all through his earthly ministry, he would look and see the lost. And you know, when we look at lost people, we tend to say, well, that's a terrible person. I'm sure they'd never get saved. I don't know if I'd bother witnessing to them because they're not going to hear me. They'll probably just laugh at me. But Jesus looked at him and said, "That's a soul I died for." And we ought to learn to look at folks that way. "That's a soul that I died for. That's somebody that I gave my life for." And that we'd be willing to make a fool out of ourselves, maybe, to try to share the gospel with them. When my heart's in it, I've learned this. When my heart's really in it, it's amazing what I can do. You know, if your wife is working and husbands, you go by and say, "Can I help?" Instead of taking, if your heart's really in it, you probably don't even have to ask. You know what needs to be done. And somebody who sees somebody hard at work at something and they say, "Well, can I help?" Instead of hitting the road before they have a chance to give you something to do. If your heart's really in the work that they're doing, you probably can see something that you could do to help out. And if our heart's really in it, we could see. I could see my place in the harvest. I could learn to do a job and I could stick with it. And get raising your children or in the ministry or anything. When somebody says, "Well, can you give me a job to do?" And they say, "Yeah, here it is." And there's something that needs to be done repeatedly. And they do it once or, "Well, I helped. I'm done." Really is sometimes you could have done it yourself faster than doing it alongside of them, but the idea of doing it alongside of them so that they would come back and do it again tomorrow and the next day and the next day and every time it needs to be done. But I'd see my place. I'd see a job that there's something I can do in the harvest and I can stick to it. I can teach a Sunday school class. I can drive a bus route. Thank God for the bus. Boy, today is a fun day to drive a bus. And then, Brother Todd, they took the van. That's a little easier. There's a job that can be done. Learn to do a job. And when God gives you a job, realize I'm going to stop at nothing, just like Jesus stopped at nothing. I'm not going to go slack off. I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to get sidetracked. God's given me something to do. I'm amazed at how many times we as Christians get involved in something and say, well, I've had enough of that. God's given you something to do. Stick to it. God's given you a book to study. Don't ever stop studying this book. God's given you a class to teach, or God's called you to preach. Don't ever. God tells you, well, never stop doing that. God's given you someone to pray for. Don't ever stop praying. He's given you an opportunity to be an encouragement to folks. Don't ever stop being an encouragement. Don't ever get so down and discourage yourself. You can't be an encouragement to someone. The heart for the harvest. Jesus said, the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest. If we could see the harvest as Jesus sees, I believe that we would jump into the work. We'd realize now is the time of the harvest. We'd have a heart for the harvest and nothing would stop it. When I've got a heart to do something, then nothing's going to get in my way. But if I'm just doing something half-heartedly or kind of out of convenience, I'm going to lose interest fast. The reality is, if we don't have a close walk with Jesus, we're not going to see anything that needs to be done. If we don't know Him as our Savior, we can't even begin to see the reason He even came into this earth. And that's where life starts, when you come to know Christ as your personal Savior, when you confess your sin to Him and call upon Him to be your Savior. That's where grace is first introduced into your life. When you first find mercy, kneeling at the cross, and forgiveness of sins. And then all through your life, God says, come and join me in the harvest. You know, I've learned, my dad used to say, if you're not a part of the solution, you're part of the problem. If you're not helping out, you're just slowing everything down. If I'm not involved in the work that Jesus is involved in, I'm really a part of the problem of what's wrong with the world today. If you ask what's wrong with the world, we can give you a list of things that are wrong with the world. But if I'm not about my Father's business and telling them about Jesus, I'm really part of the problem instead of part of the solution. Jesus is the answer. Amen? If I'm not sharing Jesus, I'm part of the problem. We can debate about everything, but if I'm not sharing the gospel, I'm not helping anything. I need to get involved and have a heart for the harvest of souls. Be involved in the work of the ministry. I'm thankful for all those who have a part for this church to move forward. And there's always more to be done than what we have hands to do. We need to be focused on what can I do? What can I pour my heart in for the work of sharing the gospel? Or being a part of God's harvest. The laborers are few, but the harvest is truly plenteous. The time is now, but the laborers are few. May God spoken to you of a need to surrender to Him. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come and talk to Him. If you'd like someone to pray with you, we'd like to pray with you, share Scripture with you. I'm going to ask you to stand.